time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. We have made it halfway through the week on a Wednesday. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. And, of course, we will give you an opportunity to win Hannibal Buress tickets once again at 12 p.m. Thanks to Live Nation. That is at Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento, March 22nd. In a couple days, if you don't have plans, you can make some plans. For more information, visit SactownSports.com. Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today. And it's fully loaded. We have the roundtable. That is at 11:30. Brendan Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli, they're probably writing new pieces right now. Yeah. All they do is put out content.
It's crazy.
The hardest working men in Kings media. Yeah. They will be here at 11:30. We got them for an hour. Anthony Slater wrote a very interesting and very insightful piece on Malik Monk. We will be breaking down all of that at about 10:45. And of course, we're not going to say it, Chris. We're not going to say it on this show. But the laundry list of Raptors players that are not playing tonight might take the cake.
Yeah. It's Grizzlyan.
It's worse. Yeah. It's actually worse. It's actually worse. So we've cooked up a fun game where Nate will ask the question whether this person is a Raptors player or did they play last night in the NCAA tournament. That is how little I know about, yes. And this is no disrespect whatsoever, no disrespect to the Six, but this is just to say that we are not going for it, Kings. We're not making any jokes on this show. Oh my gosh, here we go. We're not doing it. I'm not doing it.
We'll probably do it.
Take care of business. Nobody plays in the fourth quarter. Yeah. I want to see Kessler Edwards.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be great.
Who else? I want to see Mason Jones, much to Nate's chagrin.
Yep.
I want to see all the guys we don't normally see. JaVale. The whole bench mob should play the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's what time I'm on right now, Chris Watkins.
No, I'm right there with you. I want to see maybe Jordan Ford get some time.
Jordan Ford.
I don't know if he's traveling with the team. I don't think he is.
Colby Jones. And just fly out now.
Yeah, exactly.
Fly out now.
Your services will be needed, okay? So, yeah, that's definitely the vibe that I'm hoping we're on tonight because, yeah, man, like the – G-Man posted a picture of them landing. It's cold in the Six right now. Like they just need to get out. Take care of business.
Yeah.
Get out of there. Go to Washington. Take care of business there. Mm-hmm. And go to Orlando where I'm sure it's nice and sunny and take care of business there too. Like this should really, I mean, these next two games should, and it's a back-to-back, which again, we're not going to talk about back-to-backs.
Nope.
Not with this kind of situation. There's no excuses here. Man, just eat your veggies. Just take care of business and keep it pushing because, you know, it's literally to the point where I'm afraid that we're not going to be able to name any of the Raptors going tonight. Just take care of business, man. There's no excuse. We know Sabonis is going to bring it. De'Aaron Fox, be the best player on the floor tonight. And just wrap it up early, man. That's all we ask. It's an early start, too. We can get an early start to dinner and everything. It would be great. Just take care of business.
Yeah, and I'm looking here, man. Just going back to our good site Tankathon, the Raptors are actually in an awful spot. The Spurs are in an incredible spot. The Spurs get the Raptors pick.
Oh, no.
So the Spurs have the number, based on the lottery simulator, the Spurs have the number 3 pick, and then they get the number 7 pick from
terrible.
Toronto. So Toronto, they made their big trade, don't get me wrong, and they're starting fresh. But they're basically the Carolina Panthers. You stunk, and you don't even get a reward for stinking. So just put them out of their misery. They're trying to get to the next season for them to stink again. They don't want to be there, man.
Wow. Yeah.
They don't want to be there.
No, I mean, that's incredible. I had no idea that they didn't have their first round pick. It doesn't make any sense why, they just kind of found some unfortunate times, but that injury list is terrible. And if they're not playing for anything, like this is a huge opportunity for the Kings. I mean, you know, the Raptors probably they're going to fall into that Grizzlies category of scrappy and teams that are trying to play upset this time of year, but you know, realistically, the Kings, especially with the competition that they've been playing here recently, there's no way that you should lose to the Raptors. These guys, you know, they're playing a bunch of young guys.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, especially with where they're at right now. There's no reason why the Kings should fall on this one.
Excuse me, Chris.
Yeah.
It was a protected pick.
Okay.
So if the Raptors stay within 1-6, they will keep the pick.
And you said they're at 7 right now?
This was that before I simulated it.
Gotcha.
So in the simulator, in the lottery, they put them to number 4, so it was their pick.
Gotcha. Okay.
So they're trying to lose. Yes. Long story short, they are still actively trying to lose.
Gotcha.
And they're saying, please, Kings, take this W.
That's crazy. We've given
W's to the rest of the Western Conference.
Yeah.
We want to give you a W-2. And the Kings need to say,
Thank you. Time of season for a W-2.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it is time for a W-2. Don't forget to do your taxes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Raptors, for handing us this W. We will take it and enjoy the cold weather.
Yeah.
Maybe get some poutine and get the heck out of there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be a quick trip, and that's what I'm hoping. The thing about today is, too, if you can have a big game tonight, mm-hmm. it just rides all the momentum for Thursday as well. Of course, like, you know, if no one's playing in the fourth quarter, that means you're going to be better rested. But also, with it being such a quick turnaround, you really feel like you can ride the momentum of a big win. And, yeah, man, just take care of it. And, you know, tonight would be a great opportunity for Keon Ellis in his first start to kind of get his feet wet a little bit before having to play some, you know, the Celtics or something like that. It's good that in Keon's first, you know, solidified starting position here, he's going to have a little bit of grace period. So, you know, maybe let Keon Ellis get going a little bit offensively, find where he fits in all of this. And that would honestly be the best part of tonight, is if you can get a little experimental. The Kings haven't really had a lot of blowouts this season either way, whether it be them killing a team or them getting killed, and definitely not enough to where they feel comfortable really, you know, waving the white flag either way. Maybe tonight they can really have a big enough lead early enough to where you might see some lineups where, hey, yeah, we've been trying to see what it looks like if we put Keegan Murray at the 2 or something. And maybe tonight you can get an opportunity to get a little fun. That'd be great.
I know that we do not know how long Kevin Huerter is going to
not
be
yet,
out, right?
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure that out. But do you think
they are saying dislocated shoulder, though?
Yes.
That was on the injury report yesterday. It hasn't been confirmed officially by the team, but the team does release, like, give that information to the injury report, or to the NBA, who provides the injury report. So all indications now are dislocated shoulder.
Yeah, which means that Kevin Huerter, I mean, he's definitely going to be out for this trip. And does it feel different if you're Keon Ellis, if you are the Kings and the starting lineup and Mike Brown? Does it feel a little bit different than when Keon started, when Kevin just had, you know, a left leg bruise and you knew he was going to be back just sooner than later? He almost played the game before, and then you had Keegan out, but you knew Keegan was going to be back. Do you think this might feel a little different to the Kings, knowing that Kevin Huerter may be out for a longer period of time, to where this isn't a Band-Aid situation?
Yeah.
This is a Neosporin, stitch it up, and we gotta go.
Yeah,
We're trying to heal with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that there could be some jitters there? Do you think the Kings are probably going to try to downplay all of this?
Right.
But the reality of the situation is, this could be the starting lineup moving forward, which feels different than we know Kevin's going to be back.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely going to be different. I just think it's going to be a matter of, like, I think immediately it's going to be fine, but the real question is going to be and we're going to talk about it later, but, like, where the even in-season development, even though there's only 15 games left, like, you would hope that Keon in game one of being solidified looks a little bit different than Keon in game 10 and Keon in game 15. So it's just about kind of figuring out where we expect. It's honestly just all about expectations. I think that it's going to be trying to figure out where exactly Keon's going to fit and how much we can realistically expect him to be fully integrated by the end of this time. So they're definitely going to feel it at some point, but I think in the immediate, it'll be pretty easy.
Yeah, and it's going to be one of those things where we've just been kind of rocking and rolling. I think the good thing is that you do get opportunity to do it against lesser teams.
Yeah.
It's not April. This didn't happen in April. Where Keon, all right, here you go. We're in Boston. We're in New York. Okay, even though Keon played plenty against the Knicks. Yeah, OKC, any of those teams, you're getting an opportunity, or not even the Suns.
Pelicans.
You're getting an opportunity to do this against some
Dallas,
lesser teams. So
down the list.
You're getting into the pool, but you're 3 feet.
Yep.
Okay, then you can walk. Tomorrow is 4 feet.
Yep.
Okay, and then the
Orlando's
Magic.
Orlando's a little test.
That's 5 feet.
Yeah.
And I know someone's going to give me a Zont joke
there
pretty soon here.
There you go.
When we return, what is wrong with Major League Baseball? Why do they continue to hustle backwards? Did you catch the game this morning? No, because nobody did. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The biggest name in Major League Baseball played today, this morning at about 3 a.m. Mm. The Seoul series in Korea that the Major League Baseball aficionados and front office folk and owners and Rob Manfred, the whole gambit, decided that this was a good idea. So the Los Angeles Dodgers defeat the Padres 5-2, and it, obviously baseball in Asia is huge.
Yeah.
It's lit out there. It's a great time. But they play again tomorrow, if you missed it. They play again in about a little bit more than 12 hours. They play at 3:05 a.m. again.
Like 16 hours.
16
like
hours.
That. I don't know.
Okay. Then they go back to spring training. So these games, so it's not opening day.
Right.
It's not opening day.
But these are regular season games. I don't see how this makes any sense. Like, I don't, especially now. Like, how my first thought was, how can you not do this how every other, the NBA plays games in Mexico. They play games in, you know, in I think they played some games overseas. I mean, football will have their Germany games now, their London games in the middle of the season. Why don't, like, I understand, you know, going that far overseas might be difficult in the middle of the season, but can't you do it at the All-Star, like right before or right after the All-Star break? Like, there's got to be a better time to do it than a week before the, or yeah, what, we're a week before the actual regular season starts, and then as spring, it just doesn't make any sense. And then, like you said, to have the most recognizable name and face probably in baseball play at 3 a.m. I'm sorry. Like, you've got to make it work for you somehow. Like,
yeah.
You got to try and, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, that's terrible.
I don't understand. If you were to ask someone, I'm sure there are logistical reasons why this made sense to them. I just don't personally care. I don't care because it doesn't make sense to anybody else.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to anybody else.
That's baseball in the year 2024.
It's just hustling backwards of the highest order.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they've done. I mean, this is another showing that they just don't get it. They just have they do not understand how to properly market their sport, their best athlete, their best athletes. This is what baseball has done, is just miss the mark time after time after time. I mean, this is Shohei Ohtani's first game. It was the biggest story of your season. Even it took over half of last season, took over the, or I guess not the entire offseason, it was over pretty quickly, but it was the biggest story you had, and then you waste the grand opening at 3 a.m. Like, it's insane. Like, how do you – no other professional organization is doing that.
I don't get
it. There's no way – I mean, I saw on Twitter, it's like if you had Patrick Mahomes playing
– I saw that.
You know, against the Dallas Cowboys. For the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, Patrick Mahomes' first game as a Dallas Cowboy, a Thursday game in Germany.
Yeah.
That's essentially what Major League Baseball did.
It's insane. How does it make any sense?
Yeah, I can't help.
How does that make you any money?
It gets to a point when you're a fan and you can't help if they're not helping yourself, right? Or if they're not helping themselves. I can't sit on these airwaves and say, hey, you know I'm a baseball person. You know I'm a baseball guy. Make sure you catch the game. People, 3 a.m.
That's insane.
I can't condone that. I can't endorse stuff like that. And then after that, for opening day, and I know it doesn't matter as much, and this is a big brand. You got Brandon Crawford out there now trying to be the backup shortstop. And then the Dodgers open March 28th against the Cardinals. Why wouldn't you at least play the Padres
right.
and the star power that they have? And you have the SoCal versus SoCal. It just doesn't make sense, anything that they do. It's almost like they have somebody in there that is trying to sabotage their every move. Everything that you would say Major League Baseball should do, they have hired somebody to go in there and tell them to do the opposite. Hey, guys, what should we do with Ohtani? All right, I know this might sound crazy, but what if we go across the world, okay, so our fan base or the majority of our fan base has to stay up till 3 a.m. and or that's just the West Coast. Or you got to get up and watch it at 6 a.m.
Tuesday morning. On a Tuesday morning.
It's not going to be opening day. We're just going to have two random games. And then we're going to go back to spring training. What do you guys think? Manfred's thinking. Because Manfred hates baseball.
Hates baseball. He's like, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Manfred is thinking.
Can we have it earlier?
Less people watching. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Ooh. Yeah.
916-339-1140. If you like baseball, do you wonder what they're doing? Do you care anymore? Is it easier to just move forward? If you have three teams, Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, how much do you care about that Major League Baseball team? Because I feel like at this point, everybody is a fair weather fan with baseball.
If my team is good in August, I'll pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where I'm at. If my team is good in August, I'll pay attention. I don't need to pay attention any. And it's not just baseball. NBA, we have hardcore fans that listen for Kings Talk every single day.
Yep.
Okay? But there are a lot of fans where, when the Kings do well, our numbers are better.
Yeah.
Because, and on top of that, the closer you get to playoffs, our numbers are better.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's more
people
urgency.
Lock in.
There is zero urgency with Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And a game in Seoul, Korea at 3 a.m. in the morning.
On a Tuesday.
Is the opposite of urgency.
Yes.
The opposite of urgency.
Yes. That is screaming, I'll check it when I wake up. That literally is screaming to everybody, this is happening, but... Because they're not even really promoting it. Because how do you promote it? It's not opening day. Because but it is.
Yeah.
It's not, though.
It's not.
I mean,
it's not opening day. It's just two games.
How is it not opening day if it is the first day of regular season baseball being played? That's opening day. Whether you want to brand it as it or not, that is the opening day of your regular season. The regular season has begun for baseball. Whether or not they want to put the registered trademark on
it's
it or not.
It's not the trademark.
It is. It just is. The baseball season has started. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And it makes me sad. You have Nelly 47 on the Sack Chat. Zero care for baseball now, but I'm an A's fan, so do with that what you will.
Oh, okay.
But
I don't care about you
either. I was one that would not miss a game and watch MLB highlights, scoreboards, all of that. And it's just bizarre. And I don't know how many people even knew that the game was happening. I mean, we live and breathe. I mean, this is our job. So we knew it was happening. But how many random Major League Baseball fans knew that there was a game this morning? Or know that there's one tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
It just, I guarantee you the list is very, 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 very small.
Yep.
And that is why, I don't think it's going to happen. I know people have talked about Major League Soccer eventually catching baseball. I think it's going to take a very long time. I don't know that I will still be on this earth by the time that happens, but anything is possible.
That's right.
And if you can continue to trick off situations, I'll tell you what, Chris, and you're wearing the hoodie right now, is it impossible? Caitlin Clark gets in the NBA or the WNBA. Angel Reese gets in the WNBA. Is it possible that WNBA catches Major League Baseball pound for pound
in some capacity.
At least from a star perspective, there's
without a doubt,
there's a good enough chance that more people. There's a good chance that, I won't go there yet, but I think that there's a good chance that, you know, if Caitlin Clark continues to rise at the level she is, you know, there might be more people who know who Caitlin Clark is than Mike Trout.
I think we're closer than
there's definitely
we
more people who know who Caitlin Clark is than Blake Snell. And he just got you know, like there's, I guess that's a, you know, that's how, probably okay, not yeah, apples yeah, yeah. to apples, but.
How many Major League Baseball players are bigger than Caitlin Clark? Is it 10?
No.
Is it 5?
That's probably closer to the number.
That's insane.
It's probably closer.
That's insane. From the 916, I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. The lackluster offseason for our teams has me not wanting to pay for MLB TV subscription, but I will because I want to see how bad the team could be amid Rock. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Pike 916, I'm sure all of Japan was watching. Out there, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
so
maybe like more
maybe
East
that's
Coast
what it's
people
about.
Were watching too. I
that's
also
a 6 a.m.
just
start.
Now realizing that today's Wednesday and not Tuesday. I've been saying it started on a Tuesday. I'm just now realizing today is Wednesday. But yes, no, absolutely.
That's a good surprise.
Yeah, it's a great surprise, actually. Yeah, like maybe more East Coast people were able to watch, but even then, like, you know, 6 a.m. is still not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. So that's baseball. And don't forget, game today, again, in Seoul, Korea. Game today at 3 a.m. Set your alarms.
I guess tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Amen. Set your alarms. When we return, we're setting our alarms to Kings-Raptors tonight. How do the Kings avoid the letdown? Do they know what's at stake now? Do you like the fact that Mike Brown is very open about the standings? And we'll let you know what he said in the postgame presser. They have something very NCAA-like in their locker room. Do you like it or do you not? We'll tell you what that is when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Very similar to March Madness, there is a bracket, and some people have a tangible bracket that you can put your team on. You can say, okay, we know we have this team. We know we have to beat this team to do this or do that. Last week, the Lakers didn't even know what was at stake, and you had D'Lo saying he didn't know how far ahead the Kings were than the Lakers, and essentially he played like it, and part of that, or a big part of that, is due to Ellis Island. Keon Ellis, you have the opposite going on with the Kings, where Mike Brown has opened up and told us that they essentially have a playoff board that gets updated every single day. I don't know how long they've had it. I would assume they've had it for a while now. And at least I would just say maybe the beginning of the year. Or
post-All-Star.
Beginning
of the year.
Okay, post-All-Star, something like that. And I think I like it because you know what's in front of you. You know what's at stake. But I'm curious, 916-339-1140, do you think that could put too much pressure on the guys? Do you think it can make them Zion lackadaisical and maybe feel like, okay, so-and-so lost last night, so we have some buffer here? Because I do think that every team, we know the Lakers don't do it. I don't think every team does it. I think some teams don't like talking about it, go back to baseball and
one game at a time.
And hey, it's bad luck to kind of pay attention to that. We just go out, and if we take care of business, it doesn't matter.
Takes care of itself.
Yes, I guess is the opposite side. So I don't have a problem with it, but clearly there's still been some losses where maybe it is because they've dropped into the play-in, so it's not as if it's making them lock in fully, so maybe it's a non-story.
Yeah, I mean, they're a six seed. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they're feeling any sort of comfort looking at the standings. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely wouldn't think that it leads to any sort of laziness or anything. If it does, then that's a problem that you need to figure out in that locker room, because anybody who's looking at the sixth seed or even the seventh seed and saying, oh, like, we have a game cushion, we're good. No, if anything, seeing you at the sixth seed should say, it's crazy that we're this low. We only need to be prioritizing rising. Mm-hmm. I think that it's good that they're aware. I would much rather have them be aware of the consequences of them dropping games against teams like the Spurs, where it's like, man, if we would have won that game, look, we could have been a half game behind the Pelicans, and instead we're close to being leapfrogged by the Suns or whatever it is. Having them know that, hey, you can't just go out there and lose a game and think, ah, it's fine, it is one out of 82. It is, but at the same time, you see how much one loss can directly affect the whole grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. I think it's good. I definitely think it's a positive. It might be putting too much pressure on them, but if it is, then, like, again, I don't know if you're built for this. Like, yeah. I think that this is – that's pretty minor in terms of pressure. And if that makes you feel like, you know, you can't handle the anxiety of knowing the ups and downs as a player, well – you know, that's just one of many things that you're going to have to deal with, and it gets a whole lot worse once you're in the playoffs. So you just got to be able to put all that stuff aside. And clearly, I don't think it has any impact what they see on the walls, because they've had that free throw board up for a majority of this season. And that
they're hitting now, though.
They're hitting now a little bit better, but even then, they ain't hitting nothing crazy.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Ultimately, you know what's in front of you. You know whether, as long as we win, I think the reason I feel that it's interesting is because it can be looked at as, okay, as you know what happens if you win, right? So, right. So do you have it there to confirm, hey, if we win, we can catch the Pelicans in the five seed? Or do you have it there to know, oh man, we lost, how far did we drop? Because if you win, it takes care of everything. The only technically, you could look at this and say the only reason you would need to have the standings there is to know what happens if you lose.
Well, I mean, if they win 8 straight games in a row, it could be the, hey, you could, it's just like, you know, like losing weight or something. It's just, you could tangibly see, oh my gosh, okay, we're getting closer and closer and closer to where we want to be. And maybe you do leapfrog a team like in this hypothetical, you leapfrog a team like the Pelicans and you say, hey, see, I know we're not at the 3 seed like we were last year, but if we keep playing like we are now, you see how quickly you can rise in the same way of how quickly you can fall. So I think either way, it's a good tool. It's just, I mean, we haven't seen the major positive side of what happens if they do continue to win. I think it's mainly much to do about nothing, but at the same time, like, it is a bit of a carrot to kind of dangle over these guys and remind them, again, there are consequences to all of positive and negative wins and losses. There's direct results and effects of how you guys play every night.
Yeah, and ultimately, like you said, you got to be built for this, and these guys, they got incentives. Everybody has an incentive to win. So this is just a reminder, this is what happens if you don't. And I think also, when you see a team like the Rockets, who are now, I think, 2.5 games back of the, Golden State Warriors for the 10th seed, you don't want to see them.
Oh, that's great.
It's almost to show, guys, this is what's happening in the play-in. You don't want any part
Let's
of
go.
That. You don't want any part of that action. You want to take care of business and stay in that 6 seed. And if you still can, get to the 5 seed. But by the way, and we got pocket watching coming up, but there wasn't a ton of action last night. But the action that did happen, the Pelicans. Zion Williamson.
Dunk, man.
I mean,
The word is out.
He took flight.
Yeah, there's no Lazizacal on that.
Full extension. Yeah. That team is scary.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, the Clippers, if it ended today, it'd be 4-5. The Clippers need to be very careful.
Yeah.
I could see the Pelicans taking care of the Clippers.
Those are two different arrows right now, where Clippers their trajectory's down.
Mm-hmm.
Pelicans are stock up right now. So, yeah, I mean, if things continue that way, I mean, there's every argument that, hey, yeah, you have your You have your Hulk. We have our Hulk. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got your Kawhi and PG. We've got B.I. and Zion. Mm-hmm. And we've got guys like, Trey Murphy is going crazy right now. Nobody's talking about it. Trey Murphy's been incredible. CJ is getting healthy. They've got Jonas Valanciunas. I mean, I don't think we need to talk on Sacramento airwaves about how good the Pelicans are.
No.
But, no, you're completely right. Like, they've got everything, and they've had it all. They've just not been healthy, and this year they're finally healthy and putting it together. They're scared. I don't think anybody wants to play them.
No.
Like, I even think if you were to talk to the Denver Nuggets, I feel like probably the Clippers and the Pelicans would be the two teams that they're most afraid of just because the athleticism they have.
Yeah, and maybe it makes you feel a little bit better as far as the Kings are concerned. Hey, this Pelicans team, they are legit. So you want to be able to beat contenders, but it's not as if the Rockets should make that Kings fans way more annoyed than this Pelicans thing. Because the Pelicans, they are legit. And as far as pretenders or contenders, I think they could truly contend with the way they are playing as of right now. When we return, continuing the conversation, how can the Kings avoid the letdown in the six? Also, Malik Monk finally has some words about whether or not he would like to start. I'm telling you right now, this is going to blow up the airwaves. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
You will have a chance to win tickets to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento, March 22nd, 916-339-1140. And Chris knows when I get that look in my eye, it's going to be...
that beam look in your
eyes. No. That beam look. Speaking of, thank you, everybody, for the support. Julian's idea. Julian, if you're listening, it's rolling, man. I don't know if you heard the crosstalk, if you heard what Carmichael Dave had to say, but it is moving on Twitter. I posted the video. Everybody keeps tagging the Kings and Scott Moak. We got confirmation today during crosstalk that Carmichael Dave has made some calls and they're going to discuss it. The Kings will be discussing, that team on the Kings will be discussing changing.
They're having a meeting.
Updating. We'll say they're having a meeting about updating Malik Monk's sound from.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Outstanding timing. Two, that's right. Uh-huh. And you got to do it. And somebody said this on Twitter. It has to happen before playoffs.
Absolutely, yeah. Get it rocking. We have to get it right by playoff time. Because, like, it's almost much like this Kings season in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been the rehearsal. This is all the rehearsal for the main stage that will be the playoffs. Because what we need is come playoff time when it's, you know, we don't have to worry about the split crowd or anything like that. It's going to be 99.99% Kings fans in the building.
Yeah.
We need to all be pulling on the same string, just like the Kings hopefully do defensively.
It's going to be...
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Thank you, Nate, to illustrate the differences. And a lot of people do find... The thing about the current Malik Monk situation, it's almost... Not an inside joke, but it's a play on his name, and we get that, and so is this.
It takes a lot of, like, connecting dots.
It does, and you don't have time for that in the playoffs.
No.
You know, and you talk about the momentum. The other team, Malik, Alley-Oop, East Bay Dunk.
Come on.
The whole crowd is rocking. That team, even if it's the Pelicans. Yeah,
you can't not.
Kick rocks. Yeah. Kick rocks. Speaking of Malik Monk, very, very in-depth article by Anthony Slater, friend of the show. Anthony Slater,
the
one.
Me
and Anthony go back
way back,
and the one time he's on the show is when I was not here. So Anthony Slater, if you're listening, we'll have to do a redo. But Anthony, great article on The Athletic about Malik Monk, and it's there. There's a lot of meat to that bone, and we want to focus on
what I think everybody has been focusing on. And this is Malik Monk to Anthony Slater.
Yeah.
In this interview. Malik Monk was asked about starting. He says, and this is the article, then we'll get to Malik Monk's quote. He's expected to win it this season, talking about the sixth man. Monk admitted it's an award he desires, but don't mistake that for a full-on embrace. He doesn't necessarily love the fact that he never starts. This is from Malik Monk. Hell no, Monk laughs. Hell no, I don't like it. But bleep, it's what I got to do for us to win and play better. So I just take the role head on. This is the first time I've heard Malik Monk talk about this. And unless you are in playing professional sports yourself and complete stud muffin, right? And so if any of you Kings players are listening right now, good on you, or Sac Republic or Sacramento Rivercats, you've sat on the bench before. Everybody that played a sport has sat on the bench at some point, or you'd still be playing. That's how I see it, right?
Yes. That's a great way of putting it.
And you have a guy in Malik Monk who has embraced this role. And I think that here in Sacramento, we'd like to believe that he would be willing to get the bag and whatever his job is, because he's embraced it this season. But I feel like this is a little bit of a dose of reality.
Sure.
For all parties involved.
Yes.
I don't know what conversations Mike Brown has had with Malik Monk. We know what the season is, what the situation is this season. But moving forward, does this make it obvious to you that to keep Malik Monk in Sacramento, not only do you have to back up the Brinks truck and give him whatever bag he wants, does he have to be a starter next season? Or do you think, based on this, that will be part of the negotiation? I want to be a starter next season.
I think it'll be part of the negotiation, but in a weird way, and I'd love to know your thoughts on this, do you feel like winning the Sixth Man of the Year actually kind of hurts his case? His case to the Kings? Because the Kings could easily push back and say, you're the best, you literally just got awarded the best in your craft at this. Why would we take you away from that? We'll still pay you, like you'll still be compensated like somebody who is a starter and somebody who is highly valued in our organization, but your value also is to some extent tied to the role that you're excellent at.
It depends on how the award is viewed and what that award shows. Does it show that he's really good at being the sixth man, or does it show that he deserves to start? You can make two arguments.
Sure.
Depends on who you ask.
Absolutely.
So what I have here,
that he puts up starter production without the.
That's what I'm saying. 916-339-1140. We know everybody has thoughts on Malik Monk starting.
Absolutely.
And we've kind of shut it down, not because of us, but because Mike Brown shut it down. But we are opening up the phone lines.
Nick Saban.
Yes. And we did. Yes. We obliged. We stopped asking. So this is a really interesting list. I'm just gonna go through the past six man of the year award winners.
Yeah.
Some of them became starters. Some of them did not.
Interesting.
It's a mixed bag. Okay. 2023, Malcolm Brogdon.
He pretty much stayed on the bench. Yeah.
But then he went to Portland and he started.
Well, yeah. Portland's a really bad team, though.
But he started.
Yeah, no,
he started after that.
He was traded.
Tyler Hero, 2022. Yeah. He started after that.
He did. Yep,
he started after that.
Yep.
2021, Jordan Clarkson. He starts now. Off and on.
Off and on, yeah. He's still in there for the bench, though. He's still up there in the sixth man.
Random 2020.
He's also on a bad team.
Yeah. So it is
so
weird.
He would be a sixth man.
Yes,
I would
put that in the sixth man category. So you got two starters from 2023 and 2022. The Heat's a good team, but not the Blazers. Jordan Clarkson, who truly is a sixth man. I don't think Jordan Clarkson is going to break out of that.
So,
right.
No.
Montrezl Harrell in 2020.
Out of the league, but he stayed
out of the league.
He stayed on the bench.
He stayed on the bench. Lou Williams in 2019 and 2018 stayed on the bench.
But I would argue that Malik is a lot more like Lou Williams than anybody else.
And I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong at all. Yeah. I'm saying it takes a certain person to want to
accept it.
And how old was Lou Williams in 2018 and 2019?
He was not 26.
He was not 26, okay? Eric Gordon in 2017. If Eric Gordon is, what, 35 now?
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off the bench now, but he could start.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, that's not Eric Gordon's defined role as sixth man.
After that, so
Jamal Crawford in 2016, Lou Williams in 2015,
D6,
Jamal Crawford in 2014, yeah. J.R. Smith in 2013, he became a starter.
He did, yeah, he did.
He started for a championship team.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did. It's tough. I mean, I don't know, because I would say that Malik is a lot closer to Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford and J.R. Smith in his type of play than you know, guys like Jordan, probably not Jordan Clarkson, but more so like Tyler Hero, mm-hmm. Malcolm Brogdon. Like I just feel like Malik makes a lot of sense coming off the bench. Like I just think that, especially for this team, I'm not saying he can't start, but I just think that the role that he fills right now is so perfect, because I do think that there is an element, especially with a guy like Malik, of there is only one ball. And I know it's shown time after time again with these super teams that talent definitely outweighs everything else, but it just feels mentally it makes sense for the guys that are starting to kind of get their mojo going. And Malik Monk doesn't need that. He is a microwave. He is a guy who can walk in, instantly impact the game.
It's weird. It's weird because that's almost held against him. Everybody wants to start.
Everybody wants to start. Absolutely. I just feel like Malik is... It just makes sense. I can't...
On this roster,
this roster, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not saying he's not a starter across the league. I think if he wants to leave in free agency, Orlando can definitely give him a starting role and it'll make sense. San Antonio, we've talked about it tons. If he wants to go be Wemby's point guard, that makes a ton of sense. But for this team, how they're constructed, like, it just makes more sense to me for Malik to be the continued offense once De'Aaron goes off the floor. I think if Malik is in that starting lineup, I think people have to sacrifice for Malik to be his full max potential, where coming off the bench, it's, you know, if Malik's out there with Davion, Keon, Keegan, HB, and Sabonis, I need Malik to create everything. But if it's De'Aaron, Sabonis, you know, and other guys out there, it's more so like, hey, De'Aaron and Sabonis are going to have the ball in their hands a lot. Malik is kind of just a glorified spot-up shooter, or maybe just a grenade option where there's 5 seconds left on the clock and he's good at hitting those. So, I again, just for this team, I'm going to continue to say it makes more sense for him to come off the bench, even moving forward.
I'm talking about next season, and we will continue to talk about it. Who won sixth man in 2012?
I don't know, actually.
That lefty, James Harden.
That's right.
Stiles and Watkins continuing the conversation. Should Malik Monk start next season? Is it important for this Kings team to make sure they offer that to him during the negotiation process? 916-339-1140. Line the calls up. We'll be right back. Stacktown Sports.